And,
Cool. Thanks for having me here.
It's great. So stay tuned for the Peter B. College Show that's coming up next after the CBS News. Thanks for giving us your Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The execution of a killer in Virginia has been stayed by the U.S. Supreme Court because it's the same form of lethal injection in use in Kentucky, which the high court's already agreed to consider in a constitutionality challenge.
Well, obviously, we're all very pleased that a unanimous Supreme Court agreed that Scott's execution should not go forward until questions about the constitutionality of lethal injection have been resolved.
Matthew Engel, defense lawyer for Christopher Scott Emmett. Because of the Supreme Court's review expected early next year, this year's expected to have the fewest executions since the mid-90s. Georgia plans to go ahead with an execution later this week, but Georgia's lethal injection is different. It has four drugs instead of three, the fourth being a sedative designed to make the process less dramatic. The charges against Chester Arthur Stiles in the sexual assault on a three-year-old little girl in Las Vegas are about as long as your arm.
Sexual assault with a minor.
More than 20 charges against the man, including sexual assault on the little girl. He finally gave up his flight to avoid arrest, saying he was tired of running. An 18-year-old young woman from Pittsburgh was on Capitol Hill today telling Congress about the horror of her experience at the hands of a sexual predator who found her on the Internet 5 years ago. Her message to parents everywhere.
The boogeyman is real, and he lives on the net. He lived in my computer, and he lives in yours. And while you are sitting here, he's at home with your children.
Alicia Kozakiewicz thought she was going to meet a girlfriend she'd met on the net. Instead, she was taken by a man and held sex prisoner in chains for three long days. President Bush gave it to Congress today for sitting on its hands and sending him nearly nothing to sign in the 9 months since Democrats took over. On the budget, not one appropriations bill's been passed.
Not one appropriations bill has made it to my desk. How can you find common ground when there's no appropriations process?
On education, on housing, on trade, on military veterans, a better system to treat the wounded, on veterans affairs, law enforcement, his judicial appointments, nothing, he said, nothing passed by Congress. On health care, he said he'll compromise on S-CHIP, insurance for poor kids, but send him something. The Dalai Lama came to Capitol Hill today. He did it over the objections, of course, of China, which invaded his country in 1959 and sent him into exile. Congress gave the Dalai Lama its highest civilian award, the gold medal.
This recognition will bring tremendous joy and encouragement to the Tibetan people.
Police in Eugene, Oregon say there are all kinds of ways to be distracted while driving. They don't recommend any of them. One man was still drunk since his birthday the day before, speeding toward the train crossing and text messaging, which is why he didn't see the train, drove right into the side of it. He's okay. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 20 points, the NASDAQ up about 28. Oil, $87.40 a barrel, down 21 cents. This is CBS News.
Here we have the Carrier Infinity 96 gas furnace.
Wow.
It features an AFUE rating of up to 96.6% and 40 to 120,000 BTU-8 capacity.
Great. I have no idea what that means.
You could save up to 33% on heating costs.
Now that, I understand.
Carrier, turn to the experts. For a limited time during Cool Cash, get from $50 to $1,200 cash back on qualifying Carrier Infinity systems. Savings compared to previous Carrier models. See participating dealer for details.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
A barcode to your cell phone that the ticket scanner can read at the airport. Technology on the march.
You buy your flight ticket on the Internet and don't even have to print your own boarding pass. The world's major airlines have agreed to start sending a barcode to your cell phone. It should show up on the screen like a text message, and the check-in staff at the airport can scan the screen of your cell phone. That's your only boarding pass. The airlines believe they'll save per year $500 million not using paper. Dan Raviv, CBS News.
One of the goals in South Africa and other countries is to provide access to toilets for more people. There's a new toilet that could help, and not just in poor countries either. From the annual toilet convention, an Indian businessman, Bindeshwar Pathak, says his new toilet system not only handles the waste, it turns feces into biogas for cooking fuel and electricity, and it'll turn urine into fertilizer. Quite a loo. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
What's the most important number in your life? Social Security? Cell phone? It might just be your credit score. Your credit score can affect how much you pay on everything from a home, a car, even credit cards. That's why it's so important to stay on top of your credit at FreeCreditReport.com. The higher your credit score, the better chance you have of saving money. Log on to FreeCreditReport.com and find out how you can get your free credit score and report. FreeCreditReport.com. That's FreeCreditReport.com. Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
Say you're driving to dinner without a TomTom GPS when you notice the road ahead is closed for construction. You could turn off and look for a way around, even though every street you're passing is a one-way the wrong way. And the architecture suddenly looks different, each fleeting moment only confirming the barrage of subtle guilt your in-laws are plotting as they glare across the table at your empty seat. Or you could use a TomTom. With its exclusive MapShare technology, TomTom gives you the world's most up-to-date maps, so when a road shuts down, your evening doesn't. TomTom. Go confidently.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yeah, we don't torture. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show at 6 minutes after the hour, and I'm glad you have found us. However you're listening, on an AM radio or a little computer speaker or maybe podcast into your earbuds, welcome to another fresh edition of the PBC Show originating in San Francisco. We got a lot to talk about. Barbara Olshansky will join us first today. She has a new book out called Democracy Detained. She's represented some of the detainees in Gulag America. Also this hour, Eric Bowler joins us from Media Matters for America. We're going to talk about the slime attacks on 12-year-old Graham Frost and the mother of a 2-year-old, both who benefit from the CHIP program. Technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road. Next hour, Ray McGovern returns to our program. He's penned a powerful piece. Did you know that the NSA eavesdropping program, euphemistically referred to as warrantless wiretapping? Yes, the illegal surveillance program of the Bush administration began in February of 2001. They didn't need the new Pearl Harbor to get that going. And Ray McGovern, who served at the CIA for over 25 years, has written a piece sharply critical of one Nancy Pelosi, because prior to her ascension to Speaker, she was the minority leader in the House, and she was also a member of the Intelligence Committee and presumably knew about these illegal actions prior to 9/11. Also on today's program, investigative reporter Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com checks back in. We're going to check up on the latest reportage about the September 6th event, in which it's believed that Israel dropped a few bombs on an installation in Syria. The president absolutely refused in a morning news conference today to say anything about it, and the speculation has been running rampant that it was a nuclear facility attack, but Larissa says, no, that's not the case. We'll get the lowdown, or at least further info on that coming up in our second hour. In the third and final hour, devoted to your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. A quick programming note, particularly for listeners in Monterey listening to KRXA 540 and in Sacramento listening to KSAC 1240, yours truly, the humble host, yeah, Peter B. Collins, will be on Air America tonight, coast to coast, from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time, and the John Elliott Show is where I'll be sitting in. Not every hour is broadcast live on every station, so the easiest way to hear it all is on the stream at airamerica.com. Barbara Olshansky served at the Center for Constitutional Rights. She co-authored a powerful book about impeachment,
with Dave Lindorf. And she has a new book out under her own byline called Democracy Detained, Secret Unconstitutional Practices in the U.S. War on Terror. Barbara, welcome back to our program.
Thank you very much for having me again, Peter. It's good to be back.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I just want to correct one little misimpression. I don't usually read my producer Katrina Rill's email, but I saw an exchange between her and you where you thought that maybe I wouldn't remember you. And while we have never met in person, Barbara, I will never forget you, and I have deep respect for the work that you've done and the voice that you bring to these important issues.
Thank you very much. So, I was really honored to be invited back.
Well, you have some modesty. Maybe you should take that up with your therapist. So here's where I want to start. I've been watching too much television over the last 24 hours. I didn't know the president was going to have a news conference this morning, and it interfered with my morning plans to exercise and do some things. And last night, I was pretty much glued to the tube. The Frontline had a very powerful one-hour documentary about the very issues that you write about and the origins of them, all from Dick Cheney's office, and they fingered David Addington. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the other thing that many people saw in primetime was Larry Craig's interview with Matt Lauer. And I give Lauer credit. He asked a lot of tough questions, including the one that I've heard nobody ask about whether, in fact, you're bi, Mr. Senator, because you've denied being gay and, you know, you deny all these issues. And my point in bringing this up is that Larry Craig is protesting that he is completely innocent and that he was caught up in a sting, in a trap. And I have an idea, Barbara, and I wanted to see if it appeals to you.
Yes.
I would permit Larry Craig to redeem himself in my little twisted mind if he would take up the case and the cause of Jose Padilla.
Yes.
Because when I heard him protesting in that manner, that's who I thought of. Now, Padilla, he's used different pronunciations.
Right.
But, you know, he was entrapped at O'Hare Airport. He was tried and convicted by John Ashcroft in a news conference that was beamed into the United States from Moscow.
Right.
He was subjected to a kangaroo trial that didn't have any basis or relationship to the original reasons we were given for his detention. He's a U.S. citizen, and he spent, what, 3.5 years incommunicado in the brig at Charleston?
Yes.
And so when I heard this protest from Craig, and by the way, you know, I think it's personal behavior and it's, you know, I care very little about Senator Craig. But I would like to see somebody in his position take up the cause of the people who have been wrongly declared unlawful enemy combatants, and in particular, those at Guantanamo Bay who are completely innocent of any connection to the so-called war on terror and our military misadventures in other parts of the world.
I think that's a very great analog. I mean, I think that it's very interesting watching what happened to Larry Craig. I couldn't help but think, what's the crime that we're saying that he's committing? You know,
Toe tapping.
Yeah.
With intent to lower his zipper.
Right. And I thought, I don't really understand what's going on here, and I don't really understand, like, the use of, you know, our law enforcement for that purpose, but, you know, I don't get to make those decisions.
Right.
But you're exactly right. And the thing about Jose Padilla, you know, I'm from New York City, so I'll go on saying Padilla.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is that he is an American citizen. He's from here. He was traveling to see his son. He wasn't armed. He had nothing with him, like, indicating he was about to do anything. And when they took him in, as a material witness under a federal statute that says if they think you can give testimony, you know, before a grand jury, and they think you might not, you know, stay around, they can hold you. But it really, we now know that that was a pretext for arresting many people right after 9/11, and with really no intent that any of these people were going to testify. And then what they did is when Jose was assigned a lawyer through, you know, the public defender system, before, you know, she filed a writ of habeas corpus, like a petition asking that, you know, they show cause why he's being held. And on a Sunday afternoon, the president issued a declaration that he was an enemy combatant. No one knew what that was. No one still knows what that was, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was arrested by the military. He was seized by the military. And you're right about everything else that's happened afterwards. He was called a dirty bomber. Then there was this crackpot, you know, things they put forward that he was going to blow up apartments with natural gas somehow.
Right. Yeah.
And then, it eventually became that he, you know, gave money to the wrong charity, you know. But what's really amazing is, you know, a number of things. You know, people can very easily say about Guantanamo, well, those are people outside the United States. It's not going to happen to me. And
Barbara, they're really bad guys. Dick Cheney said so. And,
right.
And who would better know?
Well, and you know, what's amazing is, you know, Jose Padilla, an American this happens to, well, the decision that permitted, that said that it was okay for the president to do this, it didn't go to the Supreme Court on that issue. That decision still is on the books. In other words, it hasn't been overturned, and that power still exists. For any American that the decision is made that they're an enemy combatant for whatever reason. And we now know that there's been, you know, dozens upon dozens of arrests and accusations of people all over the country that they have some connection, and none of them, not a single one, has turned out to be a valid case. All of those indictments have been dismissed.
Yeah, and the latest monkey trials in Miami of this group that was infiltrated by a paid FBI informant, and they claimed that they were going to blow up the Sears Tower after they bought uniforms. And at the behest of the FBI informant, they were going to swear a loyalty oath to Osama bin Laden. Now, what a bunch of losers. And I personally don't know if they had malevolent intent beyond what's been reported. But it's such a waste of time. And it's just another show trial that the Bush administration is trying to promote to extend the phony war on terror so that they can extend their incredible power grab. And that's what the Frontline documentary showed last night. Let me lift a quote here from your book. And by the way, Barbara, you're a great writer despite the fact that you're a lawyer.
Thank you very much.
You don't write like a lawyer. Plainly, the military seizure and imprisonment of American citizens like Jose Padilla violates the basic premise of civilian supremacy prohibiting military control over civilians. Padilla, a citizen who is not a member of the military, cannot constitutionally have military law applied to him under the present circumstances. No military authority exists to confine him. Yet on the president's order, he was kept imprisoned in a naval brig in South Carolina for more than 3 years.
I wrote that?
Apparently so. It's in a book with your name on it.
Yeah. It's really true. And that's what I was getting to probably a little too in a roundabout way, is the use by the president and the executive branch of the military inside the United States is a very, very dangerous road to embark on.
Only if you've got something to hide, Barbara.
Well, you know, Jose Padilla didn't really have anything to hide, you know.
Yeah.
And neither did the Lackawanna Six, neither did a whole host of other people that found themselves in military custody.
How about the Lodi Moss case didn't go into military custody, but that's another one where a paid FBI informant was the major source used to convict these schlubs.
And you know, the thing is that, you know, it is very much a part of, you know, demonizing a religion, demonizing a culture, and you alluded to it before, it is a very effective way of, you know, keeping people afraid. You know, the same way that crazy color scale, you know, operates.
Yes.
No one knows. All the time in New York City, I would be walking on the street and it would change to orange, and
right.
I would turn to people on the sidewalk and say, so what do you think we're supposed to do now? And they would look at it and they'd go, I don't know.
You should go home and get a matching scarf. We got to take a break. We'll continue with Barbara Olshansky. I'll never forget her. Her book is called Democracy Detained, Secret Unconstitutional Practices in the U.S. War on Terror. More in a moment. If you'd like to call, we'll take your call. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. See, people feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105. Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Monterey, along the coast of Eureka and Coos Bay, inland to Sacramento, and even Laurel, Montana. Hello, Big Sky Country. We're talking with Barbara Olshansky. She's the former deputy legal director for the Center for Constitutional Rights, an organization that represents detainees, but in effect is trying to preserve our constitutional rights and protect us from the overreaching of the Bush administration. And she is now the Kaplan Distinguished Professor in Human Rights at Stanford University. I'm glad that post exists, and prior to this I didn't know about it, Barbara. Tell me what your focus is.
Well, I'm actually still continuing work on behalf of the detainees in Guantanamo, but I've broadened it a bit to include trying to represent people that are in detention in the other secret CIA facilities around the world. The Department of Defense has admitted that there's about 18,000 people in those facilities, and I've filed several cases on behalf of individuals that are in prison in Bagram in Afghanistan from other countries and are being held without charge or trial.
Barbara, I know you're very busy, but I would like to schedule another time to talk more about the issues you raise in your book, because we're really just scratching the surface here. So whenever you can, we'll find a time and get you back maybe for a full hour.
I would love that. Thanks.
I wanted to talk to you. I don't know if you saw the Frontlines documentary last night. Did you?
Only a piece of it. I couldn't catch the whole thing.
Okay. Well, I recommend it because they did a great job. And what they do is really expose the role that Dick Cheney has played, his 30-year obsession with expansion of presidential power. We now know that the NSA wiretapping began before 9/11,
right?
And that makes me even more uncomfortable with the inconsistencies of the 9/11 story. But what they focused on really was Goldsmith's book and his tenure at the Office of Legal Counsel in the Justice Department. He was preceded by John Yoo. And you and David Addington, the vice president's counsel, who's now his chief of staff, taking Scooter Libby's place because Scooter's no longer available. And these players really, you know, worked with the insiders at the White House. And one of the stunning things was that the State Department was tasked to come up with a detention and tribunal system. And Colin Powell and his staff were working on it when they learned that Cheney had announced and the president had signed an executive order establishing the Gitmo scene, the initial description of the military tribunals, and the expansive claims of presidential power, mostly authored by John Yoo. And it's just fascinating to see how it all played out.
Well, I think you're really right to point this out, and it's something in that I was talking with my students about in class here, because when you read the White House memos very early on in January of 2002, and there's a discussion between Gonzalez and Jay Bybee and all of these the same coterie of colleagues, what you hear is that they're talking about 2441, this statute, and how, you know, whether we should comply with the Geneva Conventions. And when I asked my students what's going on, they all of a sudden said, oh, my God, they're deciding whether to comply with the Geneva Conventions based on whether they can be tried for war crimes if they violate it.
Yeah.
And this is in January of 2002. So that policy of, you know, torturing people to get information was already in place, so that they are deciding whether to use it to comply with those treaties that we put in place based on whether they're going to be prosecuted for war crimes.
And John Yoo was rewarded for his quick turnaround of memos that put no obstacles in front of the president and this desire to expand power. And the one point I'll make before we run out of time here, this morning at the news conference, the president was asked a pointed question about torture and how he defines it. And he dodged the question by saying, it's defined by the law, and I agree with that. And John Yoo basically just took every meaningful definitional term for torture out of it. And that's what Bush is comfortable saying, why he's comfortable saying we don't torture. It's a flat-out lie.
It is a lie.
Yeah. Barbara, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon. I want to recommend the book, Democracy Detained, by Barbara Olshansky. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Coming up next, Eric Bollard from Media Matters.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Tree Classics, the world's finest artificial Christmas trees. Visit treeclassics.com. And by Walgreens, the pharmacy America has trusted since 1901. I'm Charles Osgood. To the extent he can, President Bush has already implemented the recommendations of a bipartisan commission to streamline the care for wounded war veterans.
Those unable to serve will receive a pension from the department based on their rank and length of service. Then they will move directly into the Veterans Affairs system, where they will receive compensation for their disabilities.
Now he's pushing Congress to pass legislation to change the system itself.
Our system for managing this care has fallen behind. It's an old system. It's an antiquated system. It's an outdated system that needs to be changed.
More after this for Tree Classics. This Christmas, decorate your home with the world's finest artificial Christmas trees from treeclassics.com. With more than 76 styles, all backed by their 10-year tree warranty and 5-year light warranty, treeclassics.com is the place to visit for a hassle-free holiday. Buy factory direct and save 40 to 60% with free delivery. Celebrate treeclassics.com's 12th year on the web. Type in CO22 for an additional 10% discount when checking out. treeclassics.com. Their price and quality cannot be beat. Flu season's here, and most adults could benefit from a flu shot. But if you're 65 or over or living with a chronic health problem like diabetes or heart disease, you're at a greater risk for getting sick, so it's important to get immunized early. Walgreens can help. This fall, healthcare professionals are offering flu and pneumonia shots at participating Walgreens. For more information, talk to your Walgreens pharmacist, call 1-800-FLU-9950, or visit walgreens.com/flu. Restrictions may apply. Co-chair of President Bush's special bipartisan commission that made its recommendations on disability reform for wounded war veterans back in July was Donna Shalala, the former Secretary of Health and Human Services in the Clinton administration.
We're still waiting for Congress to enact a modernization of the disability system. I think the fact that the president has ordered his two cabinet secretaries to implement our recommendations is very important.
Congress tends to be preoccupied with other matters the year before an election, but Shalala says the recommended legislative changes in the disability system deserve its attention because they're much needed and long overdue.
We've just got to revise and modernize the disability system. It's really old-fashioned. No one does it that way anymore.
The present system is frustrating to all concerned and also incomprehensible.
Very few people understand the current disability system. We need a system that's simplified, that every soldier who's wounded and their families can understand.
And speaking of understanding, says Shalala,
I'm very hopeful that Congress will understand that we need to simplify the system. It has to be more straightforward. But more importantly, these families need help.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yeah, I'm one of those reckless, budget-busting liberals who supports health care insurance for kids. They better be tough, because the right-wing machinery will get them.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and knees. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I need to be. I'm wrestling with a lion and the grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but I don't care. That tough is tough.
Eric Bowler joins us now from Media Matters for America. Their website's mediamatters.org. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. And you?
Good.
Yeah, good. I wanted to talk with you about one of the most pernicious little episodes we've seen in recent history and the way the media has been used by Mitch McConnell's office and by other right-wingers opposed to the expansion of the state children's health insurance program. Media Matters has done a great job covering this on the homepage today. Confirmation that it was Senator McConnell, and he, of course, is the minority leader in the Senate. And that was the point of coordination for these attacks on 12-year-old Graham Frost, who had the temerity to go public and give the Democratic response to the president's radio address about 2 weeks ago, and led to that drive-by by Michelle Malkin. No American deserves that. She's the boo-frickin'-who-gal who's just got so little compassion. Well, it would fit on my little fingernail. And, you know, they just really wound up the machine. Rush Limbaugh, all of the reliable megaphones on the right, taking up this cause to distract us from the underlying issue and try to support the Republican effort to override the veto.
Yeah, you know, and the point about Mitch McConnell's office is key. And I wrote a column sort of connecting the dots between this Michelle Malkin crusade and Rush Limbaugh's phony soldiers comments and Bill O'Reilly's trip to Harlem. We've three consecutive weeks in a row we've had, you know, stars of the right-wing media machine at the center of these controversies. And certainly when the Limbaugh and the Malkin case, less so the O'Reilly case, attached at the hip all the at every step of the way was the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And the Republican Party has now turned to the likes of O'Reilly and Malkin and Limbaugh to be the public face of the party. An attack on Rush Limbaugh is now seen as an attack on the Republican Party. And for years, you know, this Republican noise machine has been very influential and provided great dividends for the conservatives and Republicans. But these last few, you know, flare-ups, whether it's Malkin, you know, swift-boating a 12-year-old boy, or Limbaugh denigrating anti-war veterans, or O'Reilly insulting black entrepreneurs, that's the face of the Republican Party, and I think it's a godsend for liberals and progressives.
Well, I mean, it puts a little heat on Media Matters, Eric, because in almost every one of those episodes you describe, the pushback from these right-wing blowhards is that it's Media Matters' fault.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it was
certainly in the O'Reilly and the Limbaugh case. And right. How can we forget Ann Coulter,
yeah,
who was out dissing Jews last week? As
right.
Well.
It's all your fault.
It is our fault, and we take everything out of context. but, I mean, that really has been their only modus operandi. And what's interesting is all of them play the victim card very hard. Malkin has, I mean, I think they literally do see themselves as Christ-like figures, as being the centerpiece of this coordinated persecution, and that they're going to become martyrs for their cause. And as I said in my column, all they're doing is leading the American conservatism right off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to watch the Malkin Jihad, which was, as you mentioned, Graham Frost and his family came forward. And this was not a case of this family entered the public arena, and it was about health care and it was about government subsidies, and so it only makes sense that their personal finances would come into question. That's a borderline case, I think, meaning this wasn't coming into question even under scrutiny. But that's not what happened here. It was just venom and falsehoods that were spread all over the Internet about this family. That they, you know, send their kids to private school, that they have this $500,000 house. They've got granite, you know, countertops in the kitchen.
Oh, God.
So it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to take a look and see if you qualify. It's another thing to just go out and start lying about
yeah.
these people.
Well, I
and,
saw.
And Malkin sees no comparison between the two. She doesn't think there's anything creepy about her leaving her air-conditioned office and driving over to Baltimore, scribbling in her notebook while she drives by their front door, and reporting back to her, you know, her army about, you know, what their house looked like, and then publishing anonymous emails from someone claiming to be their neighbor, sort of dishing dirt about, you know, how many cars they have in their driveway. I mean, this was just, as I said in my column, how far off the range did this go? So far, that not even Fox News would touch this story. I mean, and that tells you all you need to know about how hateful and out of bounds the Soul Crusade was.
Keith Olbermann did a great interview with the parents.
Yeah.
You can find it online. I can't remember exactly. Maybe I saw it at Media Matters.
Or Crooks and Liars, I'm sure.
Yeah. But it's worth seeing because in a very soft way, the parents aren't really hopping mad or spitting mad,
right.
But they just even-handedly say, look, I used to own a business, but I had to shut it down. We bought our house for $55,000, and I'm a handyman, and I've fixed it up myself, and I'm very proud of it.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we're rolling in the dough.
Right.
The kids have scholarships to these private schools.
That's
we're
right.
Very grateful for that. And by the way, our kids are still recovering from this awful auto accident, and they've got a long way to go.
That's
and
right.
And so to see them placed under a right-wing microscope,
right.
Where selective information is used to suggest that not only are they less than credible, but that there is something
immoral,
fraudulent
yeah, right.
About Graham Frost saying I'm alive today because of the S-CHIP program.
That's right.
And certainly, we know where he came from. Families USA is an advocate for the expansion of health care coverage,
right.
And they've been focusing on S-CHIP this year. And they have what they call a story bank. You can go to their website, familiesusa.org, and right there's a story bank. And they collect anecdotes from real Americans
right.
who have experienced hardships because of the loss or limited availability of health insurance.
Right.
And so they went to Pelosi and Reid, and they said, here's somebody who could be an effective spokesperson who's actually a beneficiary of
right.
the program. And so this just shows how desperate the Republicans are to stop it. It's veto-proof in the Senate.
Right.
And they are, if you want to use a football analogy, they're right on the goal line.
Yeah.
And they're trying to hold that line using whatever dirty tactic they can find.
Right. I mean, Mulkin and company are appalled that in the issue of child health care, the Democrats allowed a child to tell his story. In the
yeah.
public.
Yeah, we can't have that.
And so Mulkin calls him a human shield, which, of course, is usually a reference to Middle East terrorists.
Now, wait just a second. Was that Mulkin or John Boehner? Because Boehner used that line in debate on the House floor.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's real. Well, it started with Mulkin. I know that.
Oh, okay. Well,
that
shows
her headline. She even came up with this, this bumper sticker
oh.
with a kid and the Democrats' human shield.
Well, let's buy John Boehner another drink and congratulate him for his originality.
Right. Right. And, the issue of health care absolutely drives the right wing to distraction. It is an issue they are trailing in the polls probably between 30% and 40% in terms of which party people think could do a better job with health care. They see any kind of health care initiative as socialized medicine. And, I think that worked in 1993, but you can't throw a stick and not hit a family that hasn't had some sort of hardship or sleepless night, in the last 10 years, or don't know someone who hasn't, become absolutely lost in the healthcare morass in this country.
Yeah.
And so the landscape has completely shifted. They don't know what to do about it. Republicans don't even want to talk about healthcare. And so when they see the bloggers in the right wing are so far out of touch, this notion that there are white working class families that don't have health insurance and need government support in this country, to them, it's got to be a fraud.
And,
people don't exist, and if they do, they shouldn't exist because they're lazy.
And Eric Bullard,
there are tens of millions of people in this country that have, or parts of families that have jobs and can't afford health care.
Right. And, Eric, it's interesting. One of these coordinating talking points is that this new expansion program promoted by the Democrats, but agreed to by many Republicans,
right,
as is demonstrated by the 24-vote margin in the House,
right,
and the veto-proof, exactly 67 votes in the Senate. There are probably 68 for it. Somebody was absent on the day of the vote. And one of these talking points is, ooh, it allows coverage for families who earn up to $80,000. Now, that's a questionable claim to begin with,
mm-hmm,
because it varies state by state.
Right, percentage of,
but
above poverty.
Get this, Eric. Today, just after watching the president mouth that talking point again in his news conference, I picked up my local paper, the San Francisco Chronicle. The front page story is about the increased cost of living and that a family of four in the San Francisco Bay Area is just scraping by on a combined household income of $77,000. Now, that's not creeping socialism. That's reality.
That's
and
right.
The people who enjoyed the Bush tax cuts, which have yet to trickle down to me, they're the ones who are saying, well, gosh, $80,000, that's enough for, you know, a couple of cars and
right,
a big vacation in Hawaii, and they should be able to pay for their own health
insurance.
Yeah,
I mean, if you live in Nebraska where the housing market, you can buy a four-bedroom house for $209,000. $80,000 is a great living. If you live in some of the housing markets where the average four-bedroom home costs $795,000, that's not going to get you that far. And the other interesting point about back to the Frost family was they say their annual income is $45,000, completely qualifies for the program. The program was designed specifically for families just like the Frost, who are facing, you know, sort of these cataclysmic medical costs, aren't poor enough to qualify for Medicare,
mm-hmm,
but are too poor to buy health insurance.
Well, and of course,
Health insurance, you know, they couldn't get any through their employers because,
mm-hmm,
he was self-employed, she was part-time.
Right.
So a privately purchased health plan would have eaten up about a third of their annual income. But again, for these right-wing nuts on the bloggers, these people must be a fraud. Even though they never claimed that they were hiding their income, or they duped anyone, or Democrats gave them a deal, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
They just hated them because I haven't even come up with the because yet.
It's just a target. It's a convenient target to distract us from the way the Republicans are willing to spend endless amounts of money on the occupation of Iraq and their cheapskates when it comes to protecting middle-class Americans. It's that simple.
They would pick a fight with a 12-year-old kid who spent a week in a coma two winters ago. It just boggles the mind.
Eric Bollert with us from MediaMatters.org. Visit their website for more on this story. We're going to take a phone call coming up in the next segment. Then I want to talk about Don Imus. Has he been redeemed or rehabilitated? I'd like to hear your comments on that. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Do you remember UFOs over Monterey Bay? Was it all just a dream? Visit those memories with us this Saturday morning at 11 a.m. on 540 KRXA. Hear eyewitnesses. Take back our power. Get truth and knowledge. Step up to the plate. Take your best shot this Saturday at 11 a.m. Tell us your UFO experiences. Being abducted? Strange things happening? Missing time? Liberate these memories this Saturday. Be bold. Fill in the pieces of one of the strangest puzzles of our time. Together, your chance to blow this phenomenon out of the water with Strange Encounters of the Second Time, UFOs Over Monterey Bay, Second Edition. New speakers, new stories, new answers. Your host for UFOs Over Monterey Bay, Bob Oliver, 11 a.m. this Saturday on your Progressive Radio Channel 540 KRXA.
This is Larry Levine of the local United Nations Association. Don't miss our International Film Festival November 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Golden State Theater in downtown Monterey. We will screen 12 outstanding documentary films from Sudan, Iran, Cuba, Bolivia, Lesotho, and other countries. Admission is just $5 per day, free admission for all students. For films and times, go to www.unamontereybay.org. That's unamontereybay.org.
Are you an atheist, agnostic, or a free thinker? Free Thought Radio's Dan Barker will be speaking at Cal State Monterey Bay on Monday, October 22nd. Dan is a former minister who will share his journey away from organized religion in a talk entitled Losing Faith in Faith. Meet Dan Barker Monday evening at CSUMB at 7 in the University Center, room 118, building 29. Dan will be kicking off CSUMB's new Free Thought group, sponsored by the Secular Student Alliance. You can hear Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor every Sunday at noon, right here on AM 540.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. The right wing attacks a 12-year-old. There's really something wrong.
Nature's way telling you something's wrong. Nature's way telling you in the sun.
Eric Bullard's with us from Media Matters for America. Their website, again, mediamatters.org. We're joined by Daniel from Santa Cruz. Go ahead, Daniel. You're on the air.
Kyle Rove did it.
There was a pregnant
pause. Why'd you let up the heat off of him? He's just back there in the shadows mucking up all kinds of muck.
Oh, he's working for Rudy Giuliani now. He doesn't have time to orchestrate these kinds of things. You may be right, Daniel, but I don't have any evidence to support that. It does appear that this was coordinated from Senator Mitch McConnell's office.
Well, if they'd hung him out, then we'd know that he wasn't doing it. But they dropped the ball on it and let him slide.
Okay, you're breaking up there, Eric. Any comment on that?
Well, I don't think Rove had anything to do with it per se, but it's certainly the DNA, and he's certainly, you know, this is what conservative activists have learned in the last 10 years, in that you just go for the jugular, and you know, facts and ethics and things don't really enter into the equation very often.
Well, and your boss, David Brock, wrote a great book about the right-wing noise machine.
Yeah.
And details his work back with the Arkansas Project, funded by Richard Mellon Scaife, and his own personal catharsis. And it's a really powerful story. Jessica in Sacramento, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I've been listening to your show for a little while here, and the comment that keeps coming up regarding the S-CHIP legislation in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is Bush's objection to it apparently is that it doesn't protect the poor people enough and that the bill itself is fiscally irresponsible. My comment is that it's kind of encouraging me to be fiscally irresponsible to take that away as an option.
Tell us why. Go ahead.
Well, my situation is that I'm pregnant. I'm almost 9 months pregnant with a baby with congenital heart disease.
Oh, boy.
So we're finding that medical expenses, of course, are going to be crazy. We're middle class. We're not below the poverty line, per se. But between my husband and I, we make, well, I live in California, and we make just over $70,000 a year.
Right. That's not a lot.
Which is not a ton, but we're not, you know, we're not poverty stricken.
Yeah.
The difference is that we will be poverty stricken given the medical expenses that we're going to be incurring.
Mm-hmm.
The situation is that we can insure our babies through my husband's work. However, there's a lifetime cap that's relatively low considering the level of care our baby's going to need.
Oh, boy.
And so the SCHIP program, we were looking into it before, you know, this legislation became such big news.
Mm-hmm.
But we were looking into it thinking, well, this is great. We have a backup plan just in case.
Now, have you looked into the California program? I think it's Healthy Kids or Healthy Kids, Healthy Families.
There are several options, and there are a few. But
mm-hmm.
my comment is that, you know, to call a program like SCHIP fiscally irresponsible is ridiculous, because what they're almost forcing us to do is for me to not work, for me to not have income so I can qualify for Medicaid.
Right.
Or for Medi-Cal.
And Jessica, when you zoom out and look at the big picture of what's happened over the last 6 or 7 years with the rewrite of the bankruptcy law that makes it more difficult, you know, should you run up huge debts to keep your son alive and help him be healthy, that you will have very little opportunity to use bankruptcy to discharge those debts. And, of course, medical costs are one of the primary drivers of bankruptcies in this country to begin with. And
right, and with the health care lifetime caps, private insurance protects themselves really heavily against sick kids, basically.
Well, and then when you reach that cap, it's going to be pre-existing conditions that could prevent you from signing on to other coverage.
Exactly. So we can't change our insurance coverage because there's a 14-day waiting period for any to establish pre-existing conditions with a newborn for every insurance we've looked into.
Yeah.
And so it's crazy to say, I mean, this bill, or, you know, taking this bill out as an option for middle-class families is essentially encouraging us to limit our income to be below the poverty level so we can qualify to have state-covered insurance completely.
Well, Jessica, thank you for sharing your story and giving us a first-person account here. I just hope Michelle Malkin doesn't find out about you. She'll be coming by to make snap judgments about how you live and maybe even criticizing you for the job you took that doesn't provide health care coverage, or implying that you shouldn't have gotten pregnant. I mean, it's that kind of incredible invasions of privacy that we've seen occur with people who've gone public in support of SCHIP so far. So thanks again for listening, and I wish you the best with the delivery, and I hope you do find the coverage you need to take best care of your son.
Well, working out, but just wanted to make that comment. I just felt like it's something that fiscal irresponsibility is something that eliminating something like that is encouraging in citizens.
Well,
you know?
And Bush has no moral ground whatsoever to talk about fiscal irresponsibility. Thank you, Jessica.
Taken care of, I guess we're okay, right?
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate the call, Eric. That's a real touching story. Any quick comment?
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, you know, stories like that are unfolding all across the country, and you know, these right wing people who think the health care in this country is great and any government help is, you know, a step towards socialism. I mean, they're just living in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not poor people who live in poverty who can't get health insurance anymore. It is absolutely epidemic in this country.
Eric, about a minute or more remaining. I just wanted to turn to Don Imus and whether or not he has been sufficiently rehabilitated. WABC in New York, no longer owned by ABC. A company called Citadel owns it, but they plan to put him on the air starting in December. There's been a lot of media commentary about it. Pat Buchanan made some bizarre remarks the other night. And you've got Alan Colmes from the Fox News Channel calling the Rutgers comment that Imus made a satirical, that he satirized
the
team. It wasn't racist. It wasn't misogynist. It was just satire.
Right. Personally, I guess I'm not surprised. I don't know. It's a little disheartening that he gets kicked off the air and then comes back to the top-rated talk show in the talk station in the country.
Well, he billed $60 million in New York last year, and they can't pass
yeah,
that up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was inevitable. He was going to get another job. He wasn't going to be on the beach that long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with that name recognition, et cetera.
Yeah.
And you know, it's up for Citadel, and obviously he knows people are going to be watching, and Media Matters
will be monitoring.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, thank you very much. Great to talk with you.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Read all about it at mediamatters.org. Coming up next, Ray McGovern joins us about the NSA spying on Americans before 9/11. If you own a classic car,
or you've been looking for a special classic. Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A victim testifies about sexual predators online.
The boogeyman is real, and he lives on the net.
A more effective way to screen for cervical cancer? I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. At a congressional hearing on cyber sex crimes, a young woman who was victimized as a child told her story in graphic, sickening detail. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
She was just 13, making what she thought were girlfriends on the internet.
Was I crazy? No. Was I brainwashed? Entirely.
Eventually, a predator met her, forced her into his car, and whisked her away.
He will beat and overpower you and crush you as he violates every inch of your 90-pound body.
Alicia Kozakiewicz told members of Congress she's not alone.
Beside me, there are so many young girls whose stories will never be heard. They are dead, possibly enslaved, or just too terrified to speak out.
Congress wants to know what can be done to sex crimes on the internet. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The man who allegedly made a video of sex with a 3-year-old girl made his first court appearance today.
This is Steve Futterman at the county courthouse in Las Vegas. Chester Arthur Stiles looked tired, haggard, and disheveled. Not once did he make eye contact with anyone in the courtroom. His head was facing down towards the ground during the entire hearing. He spoke only briefly, answering several questions from the judge.
A court-appointed lawyer says Stiles will plead not guilty. Now this.
Hi, I'm a Han Desk, and all modesty aside, I'm pretty tough. I was built that way. Strong, dependable, handsome. I mean, take a gander at my drawers. Pretty sweet, huh? You want to slam them, don't you? Go ahead, slam my drawers. What, is that all you got? Slam my fully extendable drawers like you mean it. Just tell me when you start.
Uh-huh, it's that tough. Han has a full line of durable office furniture, all backed by limited lifetime warranty. Learn more at GetHan.com. GetHO.com. Han, smart now, smarter later.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, Negative, you see what Bob just installed in the back seat for the kids?
Muzzles, I hope.
No, DVD monitor. Isn't that cool?
Great. First the GPS, now DVD players and monitors.
Hey, this is Al. I know we're having some problems with the CBS News feed. We're getting some bad feedback in there. We're doing our best to
repair the situation. For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Die Hard Automotive Batteries. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
Of special interest to women, a medical study points to a better way of detecting cervical cancer. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Pap smears are considered a gold standard cancer screening tool. Still, they miss signs of cervical cancer half the time.
The way we've gotten around that is to have women come in every year for a number of years.
There's a better way, say Canadian researchers in a New England Journal of Medicine study, a virus-detecting test that's nearly twice as accurate. A second study shows combining the two tests also is more effective than a pap smear alone. University of Connecticut expert Dr. Carolyn Runowitz cautions this new test is neither cost-effective nor readily available.
Maybe in a decade we'll be there.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
We worry about terrorists attacking vital infrastructure with bombs, guns, or missiles, but a government investigation finds terrible damage can be done with nothing more than a computer keyboard. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports on the threat posed by hackers.
A number of key systems have already been infiltrated. The So Big Computer Worm temporarily stopped trains on the East Coast in 2003. And last year brought a trio of computer-based disruptions. Hackers scrambled Los Angeles traffic computers, triggering big-time tie-ups. Another foreign-based hacker breached security at a Harrisburg, Pennsylvania water plant. and two pumps in an Alabama nuclear plant were shut down when excessive computer activity swamped its control system.
The government says cybersecurity is now a priority. Traditional Tibetan music was heard in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol today as President Bush presented the Dalai Lama, the exiled spiritual leader of Tibetan Buddhists, with America's highest civilian honor, the Congressional Gold Medal.
Americans cannot look to the plight of the religiously oppressed and close their eyes or turn away.
By doing this, Mr. Bush risked irritating China, which rules Tibet, a factor acknowledged by the Dalai Lama.
The consistency of American support for Tibet has not gone unnoticed in China, where this has caused some tension in the U.S.-China relations. I feel a sense of regret.
The president's nominee for attorney general started his confirmation process today. Michael Mukasey tried to reassure the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Protecting civil liberties and people's confidence those liberties are protected is a part of protecting national security.
Mukasey said he would not tolerate political interference at the Justice Department. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Here we have the Carrier Infinity 96 gas furnace.
Wow.
It features an AFUE rating of up to 96.6% and 40 to 120,000 BTU-8 capacity.
I have no idea what that means.
You could save up to 33% on heating costs.
Now that I understand.
Carrier, turn to the experts. For a limited time during Cool Cash, get from $50 to $1,200 cash back on qualifying Carrier Infinity systems. Savings compared to previous Carrier models. See participating dealer for details.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. In about 30 minutes, Larissa Alexandrovna returns to our program, the investigative managing editor of RawStory.com. We're going to compare notes with recent New York Times and Washington Post coverage on that that murky attack allegedly initiated by Israel against Syria on September 6th. Was it a nuclear facility? Bush wouldn't answer this morning. But first, Ray McGovern returns to our program. More than 25 years of service to the Central Intelligence Agency. And now he's free as a bird and writes powerful commentaries. And Ray is in my area code today, right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Welcome, Ray.
Thank you, Peter B.
You're at Stanford. You care? Are you at an event you want to talk about? Or?
Well, there is an event tonight. It's more in the nature of a supper with many of the local churches here, an ecumenical group gathering together to talk about the morality of all this.
So
it's, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, we're glad to have you here in, on the left coast, and I wanted to ask you to expand a little bit on a piece that I saw that you wrote at consortiumnews.com. That's Robert Perry's website, and they do a lot of great work there, and I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that Robert Perry's work reporting on the Military Commissions Act and the loss of habeas corpus rights earned the number one slot from Project Censored, the most censored or undercovered news stories of the past year. And it's a tribute to his hard work. And I was really impressed by the piece that you wrote, because you're tying together what we now know that the NSA wiretap program, I refuse to refer to it euphemistically as warrantless wiretapping, it was illegal wiretapping, flatly illegal, flew in the face of existing law. And we've learned an interesting tidbit, because Joe Nocchio, the former CEO of Quest Communications, went public and told us a couple of things. One is that these efforts to monitor the communications of Americans, purportedly when they talk to people overseas, but we don't have proof of that, began well before September 11th. It's pegged to have begun in February of 2001. And this guy Nakio, and by the way, I'm a disgruntled shareholder in Quest Communications. The stock has tanked over the last few years. He has been convicted of insider trading and sentenced to 6 years in prison. And he believes that in part his prosecution resulted from the decision he made as CEO of Quest not to cooperate with the this secret surveillance, secret and illegal surveillance program. You got that, Ray?
I sure do. Yeah. And you know, Peter B., I would add that he's not the only one. There's other evidence out there, mostly from these companies that AT&T and Verizon and the rest of them were all approached at that time. And you know, to his credit, Nakio listened to his general counsel, who said, "Hey, let's not do this because it's illegal." I mean, picky, you know?
Yeah, right.
Apparently, there are a few of us left, you know, and so they come out smelling like a rose morally, but they lost all the business, and now I don't know how true it is, but certainly they've gone after this fellow big time.
Yeah.
Whether it had anything to do with his standing up to them or not, I just don't know.
Well, and let's just say, to be fair, that there are so many cases of backdating of stock options and other things that smell a lot like insider trading, that to see him singled out does raise questions. Again, I share your point. I don't know what else he may have done, and perhaps he deserves the conviction that he has earned or received. But it is quite suspicious that, say, the CEO of Verizon hasn't been subject to the same kind of even investigation.
Yeah. Well, of course, he or she cooperated, and that sort of provides a certain immunity with the crowd that's in Washington these days. You cooperate, then you can't possibly be guilty of any crime because, you know, there's a very elastic attitude toward criminal behavior in the town from where I normally hang my hat.
Right. And, Ray, you took that point and moved it a bit further, and you're here in Pelosi country today. But you raise a very important question. Nancy Pelosi was the minority leader at the time that these events took place. She was the ranking member, or at least a key member, of the Intelligence Committee.
Yeah, and she was the ranking member.
Okay. And also, just because of her role as minority leader, she was one of what they called the Big Four, the two leaders in each house of the respective parties who were allegedly briefed by the White House on these secret programs. And so while you don't make an explicit allegation, you raise a very important question. And it kind of harkens back to Watergate. What did Nancy Pelosi know, and when did she know it?
Yeah, that's a key question here. This is no small matter. This is fooling around with our Fourth Amendment rights and the statutory law, the FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act law of 76. So when she tells us, as she did in a kind of interesting Washington Post op-ed she wrote right after she took control of the Congress, she told us that she was briefed on this because she was the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. And the question is what she was briefed on, because if she was briefed on this activity, which began 7 months, I repeat, 7 months before 9/11, then that's one thing, because the people who decided to do this kind of abusive behavior have justified it by 9/11. Everyone, from the president right down to the head of the CIA, who was head of NSA at the time, and Pelosi and everybody else themselves, you know, sort of have said, well, you know, after 9/11, we have to kind of be really, really strict about these things. And so if she knew that this was going on 7 months before 9/11, then, you know, she really needs to examine her conscience, because if she kept quiet about this, you know, that's really unconscionable. She's no leader. She needs to speak out about these things.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ray, let me just inquire here, because we know, for example, that one of the other key members, Jay Rockefeller from the Senate Intelligence Committee, was so troubled by these issues that at a certain point, I don't recall the exact date, he wrote a letter, a handwritten letter, so there would be no copies. And I guess he kept one copy in a drawer or a safe place of his choosing and sent a copy to the White House. But he registered his own objections to the NSA program at a certain point. And it appears that these leaders were over a barrel, because the White House was briefing them on this information, but requiring them to honor their security clearances by not revealing it. Now, you know much more about security clearances because you've had one. I never have. Explain to me how this works, and is there any kind of a, not a loophole, but, an exigency clause that permits one to violate the terms of a security clearance in order to report the violation of a law?
Yes, there is, Peter B. There is such a clause. It's called the Constitution of the United States. When people like Nancy Pelosi and Jay Rockefeller and Dick Durbin and the others learn that the President of the United States has authorized unconstitutional behavior, that trumps everything else. That trumps any security oath that they may have taken. They're not revealing any sources or methods by speaking out. They are trying to hold the president and the executive branch accountable, and that's why they have supervisory or oversight responsibilities over the executive. So to fail to do that is to fail to adhere to the intentions of the founders of our country, the ones that crafted this very, very delicately balanced document. Congress is supposed to have the right to say no to these things, or the right to be informed and then have them adjusted to accord with the Constitution. So, this has come up a couple times. It's exactly the right question, Peter B. In connection with, the dumbed up, forged, the doctored evidence that they used to persuade Congress to approve an unnecessary war back in 2002, well, Dick Durbin, who's one of the ranking members on the Senate Intelligence Committee, was asked, well, you said that you knew that was a crock. You said that you knew that there were no weapons of mass destruction. Why didn't you speak out? And he said, well, the rules are that that we're not allowed, it's classified and we're not, it really drives me up the wall, Peter B., because, you're not constrained if the president is going to start a major war on trumped-up evidence. It seems to me you have a duty, and not to divulge sources and methods, but simply to say, look, the briefings I've gotten in the Senate Intelligence Committee do not dovetail nicely with what the president, Secretary of State, and everybody else is saying.
Ray, I do know that Durbin voted against the O2 authorization, and so did Pelosi. And at the time, Pelosi did make some public remarks that she was on the Intelligence Committee and that she had not seen any compelling evidence that Iraq was an imminent threat, particularly related to WMD.
Mm-hmm.
But your point is well taken. Even if Durbin made similar public comments or spoke that way to his constituents, neither one of them used their role as political leaders in their own parties to block this this misguided effort.
They were afraid. A lot of the Democrats took it on the chin when they voted against the glorious Gulf War in 1991 and suffered. And you'll recall, Peter B., that this was all carefully orchestrated by Karl Rove to have this crucial vote on October 10 and 11 in a year which would be followed in one short month by an election, election of 2002. So it was pretty crass, and the Democrats, most of them, except for the ones you mentioned and a few others, they caved in because they didn't want to be accused later of having opposed what looked like a cakewalk.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Ray McGovern. If you have a question or comment, join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. And I encourage you to go to Consortium News. I'd say consortium, but it's easier to spell it if you hear consortium. ConsortiumNews.com, and look for the link to Ray McGovern's powerful article here. I think it's worth reading. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join us, or email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
All right, let's join the traffic party now and talk a little about what's happening in Gilroy, northbound 101 and 152. Heads up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have a large plastic bag in the right lane. Then we'll cruise right on over to SoCal San Jose Road at Conference Ground. Solo vehicle overturned and went off the roadway. Minor injury reports, fire crews on scene. CHP is already there. Gonzales Fano Road at Associated Lane. We have a pickup truck that went off the roadway there, landed into a ditch, and a fire department, paramedics, and emergency crews all on scene, as well as CHP. If you're in the Greenfield area, Elm Avenue at 14th Street, we have an injury crash there. We have rescue crews on the scene, two trucks, and lots of debris blocking lanes. Boulder Creek, West Park Avenue at Ridge, camping trailer partially blocking the roadway there. Carmel, San Remo at Highway 1, crash on the right shoulder, two vehicles. Monterey, Highway 68, westbound at York, we have a two-vehicle crash poorly blocking lanes.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hope you're having a really nice day.
It's another fascist day.
That's Victrola and the Dust Bunnies.
Fascist day. The Constitution is now passé. Democracy is in full decay. It's another fascist day.
We continue with Ray McGovern. He served in the CIA. He's a member of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, and he is here in California today. Good to have you with us. And, Ray, I wanted to see, you were traveling, so perhaps you didn't have an opportunity to watch it, but PBS broadcast Frontline devoted its entire hour to Dick Cheney last night. And did you see it?
I didn't see it, but I've read reports about it, and I had a very interesting comment from one of our VIPS colleagues.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell me that, and then I'll address what I wanted to raise.
Well, he noted that there was some information that Barack Obama and Cheney may be related back several generations, and that Barack Obama, when asked about this, conceded, yes, we try to keep that hidden because Cheney, we consider the black sheep of our family.
That is a great line. Well, I give Frontline a lot of credit. The one thing that they may have finished producing the show before this Quest information became public about when exactly NSA surveillance in violation of FISA began.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, they did an excellent job based on Goldsmith's testimony. Here's a guy who was pro-torture, pro-administration, and even he was uncomfortable with the work of John Yoo, his predecessor there in the Office of Legal Counsel, with the sweeping justifications for almost anything that Bush wanted to do. And, of course, Goldsmith is and Comey, the former deputy attorney general who was acting AG when Ashcroft was in the hospital, recounted that incredible story of Gonzalez and Andy Card going to the hospital bed and trying to persuade a deathly ill John Ashcroft, who, my estimation of him has gone up a couple of notches. It was so low that that's not that big a deal. But I do have to say that at a certain point, John Ashcroft said, I've had enough, and this is a matter of the rule of law, and I can't go any further than this. But what we see is the end run by Cheney and David Addington, who's his longtime consigliere and now chief of staff replacing the unavailable Scooter Libby.
Mm-hmm.
And the history is breathtaking because these folks operated as a very small cabal and simply imposed their will and just jammed this through the Congress and even other members of the administration.
That's exactly right. And you do right, Peter B., by pointing to Addington. Now, most people don't realize that Addington earned his spurs under Bill Casey of the CIA. That's where he sort of infiltrated into our government as one of the general counsels of the CIA. And he is, of course, the one who drafted that infamous memo signed by Gonzalez, which said Geneva protections for prisoners of war are quaint and obsolete.
Right.
You can do what you want, Mr. President. So, yeah, what bothers me, Peter B., is that people don't speak out early enough to make a difference.
Yeah.
There are so many generals that knew what was going on. Even General Zinni, he talks about listening to Dick Cheney talk about how many weapons of mass destruction there were in Iraq when mm-hmm. Zinni had just reviewed the intelligence and knew that there were none, and yet he didn't speak out until after the war started. So,
and on the Daily Show last night, Jon Stewart introduced a new feature, Now You Tell Us, and it profiled General Sanchez, who, you know, to his credit, made some blistering remarks that were buried in the weekend news coverage. The point is, why'd you wait so long, General?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, of course, Dan Ellsberg, who is the quintessential, we don't say leaker.
Whistleblower.
Say, and what we say, patriotic truth teller now.
Okay.
But, you know, he, as courageous as he was, and he's very modest in not taking credit for some of the good stuff he did, his main point is that he didn't do it early enough. And that's what we've been urging upon people still within the government. When you see these kinds of abuses, do not be restrained by some promise you made not to divulge classified information when war and peace is at stake. Take, for example, Admiral Fallon, who is Petraeus's boss.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he gets an order from Cheney and the president to implement Plan A, namely bomb and missile the attack the hell out of Iran.
Right. 20 seconds. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah. So he says, well, wait a second. What is this about? Iran's no threat to us. does this have to do with the president's difficulties politically? I'm not going to do it. And he goes down to the Washington Post, and he tells the Washington Post what he's been ordered to do, why he's not going to do it. And that had a secret stamp on it, that order. But the right thing to do is divulge that and make sure we...
Ray McGovern, great American. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Roots, the Lost Chapters. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Oh, Barack Obama, you claim to be black enough to be the first black president. You even reached into your family tree.
My grandfather was a cook and a houseboy, and that's what they called him even when he was 60 years old. They called him a houseboy. Sound familiar?
Yes. But you left out a branch, Mr. Obama.
We offer another way, a better way, and a stiff dose of truth.
Second Lady Liz Cheney says that while doing family research for a new book, she discovered that you, Barack Obama, and her husband, the vice president, are eighth cousins. Your common ancestor is a 17th century immigrant from France who I'm guessing is whiter than I am. Anyway, I'm here to say, don't run from your past, Barack. True. The man is not perfect.
There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Sometimes he gets things wrong, but this is a gift, Barack. Consider your position. Hillary's out there every day making the case that she's man enough to be the first woman president. But you share DNA with someone who's got even bigger ones than she does.
Ultimately, I'm the guy who pulled the trigger that fired the round that hit Harry.
Embrace your French DNA, Barack, which means no more stuff like this.
Yeah, there were a couple of guys named Cheney and Rumsfeld, and they led us into the worst foreign policy fiasco in recent history.
Not nice to diss your relatives in public. Now this.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good job, innit, when you think about it? I mean, basically, I help people save money, don't I? Like, I tell people they could save hundreds by switching to Geico. They go to geico.com, maybe save all this money on car insurance, and the next thing you know, I'm, like, invited to their wedding or whatever. One bloke actually asked me to be his best man. Dear, oh dear. Point is, I want loads of friends. Giving away money, it's not a bad idea.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to restart the program. I was distracted, but I'm back.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Okay, we're back under control here. Sometimes during these four-day-long commercial breaks, I start to do other things, and then I look at the clock and I say, oh, it was time to start the show again.
People moving up, people moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We just learned that Larissa Alexandrovna will not be able to join us today. But I want to spend a few minutes talking about what I was planning to discuss with her, and then we'll open up the phone lines to talk with you. Any subject, so if there's something you want to comment on, you can give me a call, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. If you listen on a regular basis, 2 weeks ago, you heard Larissa share with us her reporting. And this relates to an attack that we believe was conducted by the nation of Israel, an aerial assault on a facility in Syria. And we know it occurred on September 6th of this year. There's been a virtual blackout on any official confirmation of this story from most sources. We do have a denial from Syria that I'll get to in a moment. But even as recently as today, when George W. Bush held a nearly hour-long news conference in Washington, he steadfastly refused to make any comment whatsoever on this story. Several reporters tried various ways to do it, and while he didn't lose his temper, he was very clear that he was not going to talk about this. And at one point, he snapped back at David Gregory of NBC News, apropos of almost nothing, I guess. This is not my first rodeo. Well, I've never thought of a news conference as a rodeo, but hey, when you're all hat and no cattle and pretend to be from Texas, I guess it passes for informed commentary. At any rate, Israel has leaked out a little bit of information about this, and there is a very deep divide between the reporting that Larissa brought us based on named sources from the United Kingdom primarily and some unnamed sources from the U.S. military, that the assault on September 6th did not involve a nuclear facility. It did involve, according to Larissa's sources, a facility where Syria, with the help of North Korea, was trying to assemble a missile, a Korean-based or Korean-built Scud-style missile called a Nodong. And what Larissa learned was that prior to September 6th, at this site, Syria was attempting to put a payload, a bomb or a warhead, on that Nodong missile, and allegedly, according to the reports that she got, the warhead, the payload, was a chemical or biological weapon. And there was some sort of a breakdown or accident. And a number of people were injured and perhaps many killed at this Syrian facility. Okay, so that's one version. And to date, I have not seen any reporting that directly contradicts what Larissa told us 2 weeks ago. But what we've seen is a lot of detailed speculation, particularly in the New York Times. And they skirt around the issues of exactly what the target was, but they repeatedly suggest, imply, or hint that it was a facility that Syria is using to develop a nuclear weapon. Now, we talked to Professor Juan Cole about this yesterday, and he indicated that he finds this extremely far-fetched, that Syria is a small country, and that they simply don't have the resources and capacity to develop a serious nuclear facility. So what we have been hearing from the American side reporting is that there was a debate inside the Bush administration toward the end of August, as Israel secretly told U.S. officials that they were thinking about doing this. And the reporting is that the U.S. said, we don't think that's a really great idea. But Prime Minister Olmert of Israel, based on this scenario, went ahead and did it unilaterally. Now, Syria is a signator to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and they are permitted under that treaty to have a nuclear reactor for the purpose of developing nuclear fuel for electrical power generation. And we have a senior Israeli official declining to speak on the record, said the strike was intended to reestablish the credibility of our deterrent power, signaling that Israel meant to send a message to the Syrians that even the potential for a nuclear weapons program would not be permitted. But several American officials, I'm quoting the New York Times here, said the strike may also have been intended by Israel as a signal to Iran and its nuclear aspirations. Neither Iran nor any Arab government except for Syria has criticized the Israeli raid, suggesting that Israel is not the only country that would be disturbed by a nuclear Syria. North Korea did issue a protest. The target of the Israeli raid and the American debate about the Syrian project were described by government officials and non-government experts interviewed in recent weeks in the U.S. and the Middle East. All insisted on anonymity. We can't get anybody on the record on this issue. The officials who described the target of the attack included some on each side of the debate about whether a partly constructed Syrian reactor should be seen as an urgent concern, as well as some who described themselves as neutral on the question. So this is very interesting. And then in a signed analytical piece in the Times, and this was published on Monday, October 15, David Sanger in the Washington Bureau writes, "It was President Bush who, a year after the 9/11 attacks, rewrote America's national security strategy to warn any nation that might be thinking of trying to develop atomic weapons that it could find itself the target of a preemptive military strike." Now the case of Syria, which Israeli and American analysts suspect was trying to build a nuclear reactor, has become a prime example of what can happen when Mr. Bush's first-term instincts run headlong into current realities. Dealing with nations that may have nuclear ambitions but are also staying within the letter of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty looks a lot more complicated than it once did. So Sanger goes on to speculate further, but he again is repeating the hint here, the thread, the meme, that this was a Syrian nuclear facility. All right, now to today, Wednesday's Washington Post. This is available online. It was posted about 8 o'clock this morning, Eastern Time. Syria denied Wednesday that one of its representatives to the UN told a panel that an Israeli airstrike hit a Syrian nuke facility and added that such facilities do not exist in Syria. The Syrian news agency, Sana, quoting an unnamed foreign ministry source, said that Syria had made it clear in the past that there are no such facilities in Syria. A UN document released by the press office provided an account of a meeting Tuesday of the First Committee, Disarmament and International Security in New York, and paraphrased an unnamed Syrian representative as saying that a nuclear facility was hit. So we know that Israeli warplanes carried out an airstrike in northeastern Syria near the border with Turkey September 6th. And it's not explained here. Oh, I see. Let me back up. The UN document used the date of the 6th of July relating to an attack in Syria. It reads, "Israel was the fourth largest exporter of weapons of mass destruction and a violator of other nations' airspace, and it had taken action against nuclear facilities, including the 6th July attack in Syria." Next line here reads, "Israeli warplanes carried out an airstrike in northeastern Syria near the border of Turkey on September 6th, not July 6. The target remains unknown, but widespread reports say it may have been a nascent nuclear facility, a claim that Syria has denied. The only thing we've been able to get out of the Syrian government is President Assad said earlier this month that the target was an unused military facility. So this is all very interesting. And again, if you had a chance to hear or see the president's news conference this morning, he is determined to say absolutely nothing about this incident. And one has to wonder why. Because it is consistent with his effort to demonize Syria, to really portray them as a rogue state. It also appears, as the New York Times speculated, that this is being used as a warning flare to Tehran, that Iran faces the same fate if it continues at Natanz and other sites to develop nuclear fuel. So then you zoom out and look at the big picture. And the Bush administration is on the ropes in Iraq. We knew that. That's being complicated further by Turkey's determination to send more troops into northern Iraq to confront the Kurds, who also populate southern Turkey and are an irritant to the Turkish government, which takes a very hard line in cracking down on Kurdish residents of Turkey. So we've got that front, and it's just bizarre that they are maintaining this kind of radio silence about the issues with Syria. So that's pretty much what I know. I'm sorry that Larissa won't be able to join us today because she's been all over this story. And I have found, as I say, her reporting is not contradicted by these speculative, unsourced, and, fuzzily detailed articles in mainstream media publications. So this is a set of mysteries we will continue to pursue here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we will talk with other guests in the future. And when we can get Larissa back on the program, we'll do so and see if there's anything more she can add. So that's what I have to say about Syria. I want to open up the phone lines now because we've got our free speech zone coming up at 5 o'clock, so we're just going to open it up now. You know the rules. You can talk about any subject from any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. It's 1-888-5-PETER-B, 1-888-573-8372. And maybe you want to talk about the NSA issues that Ray McGovern raised and the question that he asked about Nancy Pelosi. What did she know? When did she know it? And why didn't she go public with at least some form of warning to the American people? They're very legitimate questions, and they extend beyond Pelosi, but I certainly have no problem with his identifying her as a key player there. So we'll take a break here and return to your phone call. So grab a line and chat with me. Again, my number is 888-5-PETER-B. And you can visit our website at peterbcollins.com. There's a link on the homepage to our spiffy upgraded podcast service. And that way you can download any hour of the Peter B. Collins Show and listen to it on your own time in that fancy little iPod of yours or a substitute media player from some other company.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy. He'll be talking about the company's wealth-building meetings that'll be happening in Santa Clara, Millbrae, and Emeryville. If you'd like to learn how you can get started in building wealth in real estate, listen this Sunday to Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. Call 916-941-0077 for more information. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
This Friday night's games at Seaside as Monte Vista entertains the Spartans. 7:10 pregame, 7:30 kickoff.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic. We're starting off with a problem in the Santa Cruz Mountain, Old Santa Cruz Highway at the Highway 17. Solo vehicle hit the embankment. Southbound lane is partially blocked at this point. Then we'd like to take a look at SoCal. It's San Jose Road at Conference Ground. It is a solo vehicle that overturned, went off the roadway. CHP is on scene. Minor injuries also reported as well. Let's take a look at Greenfield Elm Avenue at 14th. Two trucks and lots of debris in the roadway involved in a crash. Looking at Monterey Highway 68 westbound at York, two-vehicle crash reportedly blocking lane. CHP is on scene. This report brought to you by the California Public Utilities Commission. If telephone service plans confuse you, call phone info at 800-818-5009 for free brochures and a community organization to get...
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Your calls and comments are welcome. The free speech zone is open for you. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. Today in Washington, the Senate Judiciary Committee opened up hearings on the confirmation, which I presume will be rubber-stamped, of Judge Michael Mukasey as the next Attorney General. And I was unable to watch any of it myself, and I'll have to catch up later. I'll be on Air America tonight from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time. And so it might take me a little while to catch up with my TiVo tapes of this hearing. But what I'm picking up from news accounts here is, here's a quote from Pat Leahy, the chair of the committee. The Attorney General cannot interpret our laws to mean whatever the current administration says, Republican or Democrat. And let's see what Mukasey had to say. He said that he had not been read into classified Justice Department documents regarding the use of cruel or degrading treatment by CIA interrogators, but he said he would not condone torture. Leahy asked specifically about the Bybee memo, which changed the definition of torture, and Mukasey disavowed that memo, said he believed it was contrary to the law and values of America, but declined to discuss specific steps he said he would take. We'll get more on this next hour. We're going to get a quick update from Jason Leopold of truthout.org, who monitored the Mukasey hearings today, and I hope to learn more then. We'll go to your calls now. Ryan in Pacific Grove along the beautiful Carmel Coast, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thanks, Peter. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, Ryan, do you know I hate that?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I try to train people not to thank me because I'm grateful that you called. This is a, you know, a live call-in radio show.
Well, I'm a steady listener. I was listening the other day, and I heard you speaking about the new law to ban people smoking in vehicles that are occupied with children.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I was just a little, like, just perplexed by your stance on that.
Well, tell me why. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you came to the conclusion that you know, the children should speak for themselves and let their parents know themselves that you know, that's not right, and that'll probably be a more effective means. But what about children who are too young to speak for themselves, or like infants and such?
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that. My bigger point here, Ryan, is that to put law enforcement into this kind of supervision of personal behavior is something that I think is over the top, or, you know, beyond the line. And sure, I want to stipulate that I clearly recognize that secondhand smoke is toxic. I support the California law that bans smoking in bars and restaurants and other public places in order to protect the employees. And I think that we are seeing laws that are going too far. In Belmont, on the peninsula south of San Francisco, they passed an ordinance saying that people can't smoke in their own apartment or condominium. And I just wonder how far we're going to go in whipsawing smokers while continuing to allow this product to be sold, taxing the hell out of it as a sin tax. And I just think that, you know, we have to recognize that there are limits to what law enforcement can do when it comes to this kind of social engineering.
Yeah, I completely understand. I mean, I feel like that would be taking it too far, too, to ban smoking, like, you know, at your own home or apartment. I just, you know, I worry about the children who are too young to speak for themselves.
Well, I share that concern, and I think that we have ways of dealing with that. For example, do you know about First Five?
Yeah, I have the First Five packet for my new child, actually.
Well, great. I was just going to mention that, okay? First Five is a product of Rob Reiner's Proposition 10 in 1998 or 1999, and it put a 50-cent-a-pack tax on cigarettes in California, and that money is devoted to early childhood development. And you're a new father, is that it?
Yeah, okay. I have an eight-month-old daughter.
Well, congratulations. I'm happy for you, and I imagine you're not smoking around her, if you smoke at all.
Oh, no, I'm not a smoker myself.
Okay, so you received this kit from First Five, and I actually have seen these new baby kits, and I believe that there's either a videotape or a booklet in there that at least touches on smoking and the impact of secondhand smoke on children.
Yeah.
And so that is one way of trying to educate parents about the responsibility they have for their children's health, and that smoking is something that can harm their children's health. That, to me, is a good use of sin tax money, okay? We're taxing smokers to try to educate smokers that they shouldn't smoke around their kids.
Ideally, the parents should be making the right decision, but I just, you know, I feel like if you're going to be okay with laws to defend, bartenders and waitresses and such, then, you know, it'd be a logical extension to be for laws to protect, small children.
I'm sorry, I don't think that's what the highway patrol or local cops should be doing. You know, and the next step is, what are they going to do, go around and take cigarettes out of people's mouths?
I see that. There's far, far worse crimes being committed out there that they should be spending their time on.
Yeah, and I hate to be supporting the ashtray habit, and I don't want to come off that way. This is just kind of a libertarian streak in me, mm-hmm. where I feel that this is going too far. It's micromanaging people's lives, and, you know, if we really want to put a stop to it, we should outlaw tobacco. And we're not going to do that, so we have to live with the compromises and accommodations that, practical, reasonable people have come up with. And so that's where, at this point, I say, wait a minute, that's too much. And also, it becomes one of those things where they say they're not going to pull you over just for smoking,
but
I don't believe that long term. There could be a situation where they suspect you of something else, and they use the smoking law as the excuse to pull you over, cite you, or, you know.
Yeah, that's what they said about seatbelts, and now it's a different story.
Right, yeah.
I hear your point. I hear your point. That, you know, I agree. There is a point where they're taking it too far, and just want a little clarification on your stance there.
All right. Well, I really enjoyed talking with you about it. I'm glad you called today, Ryan, and love your baby.
I enjoy your show. I'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care.
That's great. All right, I don't have time to jump to another call, so hang on there, Laird. We'll get to you right after the top of the hour, and we'll take more calls here in the Free Speech Zone at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Any subject, any viewpoint, and if you disagree with me, bring it on. That's what I love the most. I love to engage. 888-573-8372. Peter at peterbcollins.com. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Let's do it.
We're in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments welcome here. 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free. That's 888-573-8372. Ryan called just before the top of the hour and was discussing an issue we raised the other day as Governor Schwarzenegger here in California signed a bill that now imposes a $100 fine on adults who are found driving around in a car with kids smoking. I should restate that. You ever say something and then realize, oh, no, it's not the kids smoking. It's parents driving around smoking with kids in the car. How's that? And maybe they're even parked somewhere. I don't know. It's basically if you're in a car and you're smoking and your kids are there, you can be fined $100. Well, you're welcome to talk about that. I consider it a, you know, personal freedom issue and also a matter of what our law enforcement resources are devoted to. And particularly if you serve as a law enforcement officer, highway patrol, sheriff, local police, I'd like to hear your thoughts. Do you want to enforce this law? So tell me about that at 888-5-PETER-B. Now, there's one other bill, and if you're a cop, I'll ask you about this. Actually, there were three of them that Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed. All three bills were recommended by an outfit you've never heard of, the California Commission on the Fair Administration of Justice, which was created in 2004 to look into the cases of people who are innocent in prison and propose safeguards. Now, we have seen that there are more than 150 American inmates who have been exonerated, declared completely innocent of the crimes that they were incarcerated for, and many of those people were on death row. You know the situation in Illinois where a corrupt governor, who's now on his way to jail or behind bars, George Ryan, cleared out death row in his state because he could not be convinced that there were no innocent people there. He commuted some sentences, he released a few guys. And so here in California, this commission, which is chaired by a former attorney general and a guy who's not soft on crime, John Vandekamp, proposed three measures, which Vandekamp described as modest bills based on the best science and best practices available. And what they were proposing was that interrogations of serious crimes, including murders, must be tape recorded or videotaped. And this would provide a record for the future so that if issues come up, you can, understand what occurred at the time, whether there was any misbehavior by the police, and exactly what the suspect might have said. Another law that was authored by Gloria Romero, a state senator from Los Angeles, would have barred testimony by a jailhouse informant. Now, jailhouse snitches have become a real problem, and there are times when their testimony is used to convict others, and it can be highly suspect. It can lead to wrongful convictions. The third bill by Senator Mark Ridley Thomas of Los Angeles addressed what the commission described as a recurring problem of mistaken identification by eyewitnesses. The measure would have required the Attorney General to set up a task force to consider voluntary guidelines for police, including the commission's proposal that lineups be supervised by officers who are unaware of a suspect's identity, a double-blind situation. Schwarzenegger vetoed all three of these bills with nonsensical reasons. He said the videotape bill would deny law enforcement the flexibility necessary to interrogate suspects. There are video cameras the size of a pack of cigarettes or an iPod. So how is it such a burden on cops? Many of them videotape stuff we know if you watch the cop show on Fox. So I find this very hard to take, and it shows once again the Governor Schwarzenegger, while he has moments where he's not, really living up to the dictates of the Republican Party and the people who fund it, he isn't independent enough to take on the police agencies and the prison guards in this state. And I think that's a real tragedy. Your call's coming up, well, right now. Laird in Eureka. You're on the air. Go ahead, Laird.
So if we outlaw cigarettes, only outlaws will have cigarettes?
Exactly. And they'll bring them in from Nevada and not pay the taxes.
Kind of has a weak ring, doesn't it?
Yeah, and how about prying them from my cold, dead, nicotine-stained fingers?
Anyway, first of all, you know, the Valerie Plame thing, and then a few weeks ago, there was a situation where the Al-Qaeda tapes were released early.
That's right. This this organization in Washington, which is kind of a volunteer paragovernmental intelligence group, essentially hacked in or found ways to look at Al-Qaeda videotapes before they were actually released to the public. And they got this information, they shared it with the White House, and then the White House exposed it, and it blew the cover off this back channel that I think her name is Rita Katz had developed to monitor Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, and the there's another one that I got right under the radar about a year ago when the Italian lady was freed. And Italy made a deal with Al-Qaeda to pull troops out over that. Bush gave a speech about a month after that, and during the speech, he listed off our allies, and be damned if he didn't list Italy.
Hmm.
You know, and it's, I mean, it's a little thing under the wire, but it's just one more thing.
Well, you know, you make a good point, and if you saw the president's news conference this morning, Katrina and I were talking about this. He contradicted himself so many times that you end up spinning and saying, this guy will say anything, and it appears that he believes almost nothing.
I got a kick out of him warning Turkey not to invade a country right next door that has already invaded them. I mean, I don't know what the politics are, but who is he?
Yeah. Right.
You know? Anyway, the other thing, Peter, you were talking to David Kearns a while back. And
right.
He called in and asked about Medicare and
uh-huh.
so forth. I just wanted you and your listeners to know that I asked around, starting with my care provider, my doctor, and other people,
mm-hmm.
and I got all the help I needed. Not only did I get signed up for Medicare and find out what my benefits are, but I found out I was also eligible for Medi-Cal. And the point here is that the system does work, and we don't need to throw out the baby with the bathwater, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and this is why I would like to see single-payer, universal health care coverage in this country, and Bush continues to misconstrue what that means. I want essentially Medicare for all, that the government becomes our health insurer, not our health care provider. And that's what the Republicans continue to twist and try to misinform the American public, scare people about alleged socialism. It's not going to be socialism if we cut out the profits that the insurance companies are taking as they jack up the rates and, you know, do a lot of unnecessary paperwork and basically serve as a barrier to coverage for people. The,
right.
The insurance company's job is to deny coverage so they make more money.
I had never seen a system where a middleman helped.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Pete.
You bet, Laird, and I'm glad to hear that you got coverage and that the system is working for you. You got to work at it, but you can make it happen. Scott in Carmel by the Sea, you're next. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to briefly mention the smoking cars with kids that you were talking about a few minutes ago.
Right. Uh-huh.
I don't like the idea of being told what I can or cannot smoke anyway, anywhere. However, if you have kids in a car, they are hostages in a small, enclosed area being exposed to secondhand smoke, which has been proven to cause cancer. I think that in some cases, maybe it is the police's job to look out for the welfare of children when their parents aren't using good judgment.
I don't totally disagree with that, Scott. It's just a matter of how we prioritize our law enforcement efforts. And as long as this is a legal product And, you know, I would personally, I wouldn't be hurt and I wouldn't be opposed to an effort to, over time, ban the sale and use of tobacco products altogether. But that has to be done through a democratic process. And what we're seeing is that non-smokers are tightening the nooses on smokers in every way they can. And I think it is crossing a line where we are micromanaging people's private behavior. We are attempting social engineering and rationalizing it because we think it's for a worthwhile cause. And, you know, I don't want social engineering to tell me how much wine I can drink or can't drink when I'm behind the wheel. There is a realistic public safety issue. And you can argue that there is a clear and present danger to the kids in a car with the windows rolled up and both parents smoking. It's not imminent. You know, it's not like they're drunk and could drive off the road. It is a long-term and insidious hazard. And so I'm not in any way trying to deny or minimize that aspect of it. My angle is here that it's not a high-priority use of law enforcement, and it's not like I think that every cop is going to start just focusing on smokers. But it can be abused, and it makes smokers a further target of the law. And I guess I've just reached a point where I think it's gone too far.
And I think that it's just that in this case, somebody else's well-being is being impinged upon by your freedom to smoke. It's mm-hmm. not a child's choice. And I feel that there should be some protection involved. I don't think it should be the number one priority of police, but if somebody's driving down the street and a cop passes them and sees that they're smoking with kids in the car, I think that sometimes hitting someone in the pocketbook is more, has more of an impact than simply educating them.
Scott,
that's my opinion. Thank you.
Scott, have you ever been nailed by one of these red light cameras?
No, I haven't, no.
Well, my sweetheart, Kathy, got a $380 ticket because she was one-tenth of a second late in going into an intersection, all right? And these red light cameras, you really have no recourse. You cannot challenge the fact there because there's a picture of her driving into the intersection and the light is red. But when you get the whole sequence and you see that it was one-tenth of a second, all right, this becomes a matter of zero tolerance and a way of, you know, fattening the coffers of the state. The new red light law, most of that money goes to the state and not to the local agency that has generated the robot ticket. And so this is another case where there's no discretion involved. If a cop saw you do that, and you were one-tenth of a second late in going into the intersection, he or she would use discretion and say, nah, they didn't mean to do it. That was not somebody who was intentionally running a red light. But now that's been removed, and all you have is a cut-and-dried case. One-tenth of a second, that's $380. Then there's another $100 to go to traffic school to try to take that off your record. It's too much for me. Let me know what you think. 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. I'll have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hey everybody, let's take a little traffic. Let's see what we got going on. We do have a little situation working right now in, Castroville, 156 of Castroville Boulevard. It's a vehicle on the right shoulder involved in a crash. There are a couple cars, and minor injuries reported. CHP is actually already there, which is good news for those people. Meanwhile, we also want to take a look at Monterey, Highway 68 westbound, right at, they're calling this York Road. It's a two-vehicle crash, clear to the right shoulder. CHP is on scene there. Santa Cruz Mountains, old Santa Cruz Highway at Highway 17. We have a solo vehicle crash that has been cleared, was blocking lane for some time. CHP still on the scene there. This report brought to you by Die Hard Automotive Batteries for reliable starting power when you need it most. Choose Die Hard for Automotive Batteries.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We've really struck a nerve here. People have strong feelings about this new law that could fine drivers $100 if they're found smoking in the car with kids in the car, too. I welcome your comments. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And the Marlboro man did not put me up to this. If I'm correct, this is Bernie in Sacramento. Am I correct?
No, this is Will in Monterey.
All right, Will, welcome. I got to get my screen refreshed here. We've been flooded with calls with all kinds of people who have opinions.
I got mixed feelings on all this here. I generally agree with a lot of stuff you say. I used to do public radio myself many years ago.
Oh.
But I'll tell you right now, I've been a turnabout on the red light thing because I got nailed by one of those about, I guess it was about 6-7 years ago, right in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was pissed and everything else and all that other stuff. But, ever since then, I'm more cautious when I approach a red light. If I see a yellow light, I start coming to a stop, and I've seen so many people run through yellow lights and turn red in the middle of the intersection and almost have accidents. And I'll tell you, I figure you're not going to get away from the technology. And I think that people just have to exercise more caution, which is what the yellow light was supposed to be, and
Okay, well, let me just give you this example, Will. The last time I got a speeding ticket was on a road near here called the Miracle Mile, and I was clocked at 45 in a 35. And
that's ridiculous.
maybe it was 48, okay? And I deserve the ticket, okay? And I drive that stretch every day, and I'm certainly much more vigilant, and I think about the speed limit, and I think that there could be a cop on a motorcycle hiding behind the Welcome to San Rafael sign. But this red light ticket that my love Kathy got is really grossly unfair. And,
well, I know the fine's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the fine is way too much, and there is no discretion because there wasn't a human being there to witness it, and there's no human in the process who can say, okay, tenth of a second, I understand, that's not fair. This was in Southern California, in an area she wasn't familiar with, and, you know, it happened. And like I said, if there had been a live human being police officer there, he or she would have said, hey, watch the lights. Now drive on. I'm not going to give you a ticket. And okay, well, and that's where I feel that we've lost discretion in that sense. And then this smoking issue becomes purely discretionary. A cop can choose whether
I'm
or not.
I'm against smoking, having been a smoker for about almost 30 years of my life. And now I'm 61. I gave it up back in 1980. And I can't even be in the same room sometimes with smokers, and I could understand a child who really can't speak out or anything being affected by secondhand smoke, but I think that is going a little too far when they start regulating your car. But, you know, the people have to start taking, a little responsibility for themselves, too.
All right, well, how about putting a big message on each pack of cigarettes you sell? There are a lot of ways of doing it. I just think that using law enforcement in this way that can be used arbitrarily, it just goes too far. Larry and Aptos, thanks for holding. You're on the PBC show.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the couple of callers ago, the elderly gentleman talking about the Medicare, and you mentioned something about socialism. You know, Mike, I have to say,